When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Big FM 93.7, Big AM 1380. I'm doubting this woman is ever going to complain about making $160,000 a year. I'm guessing she isn't going to have sushi flown in from New York. And I'm doubting she's ever going to go on a reality show and run around naked. On a live line with us, candidate for Congress in northern Wisconsin, but she's kind of got a campaign that's getting a lot of attention around the country. It's Kelly Westland. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How do you like that setup?
I thought it was great, except when you first started saying, I doubt this woman, I was like, holy smokes.
No. I doubt you're going to complain about making $160,000 a year. Or whatever.
Right, no, you're right about that. Are right about that.
Actually, maybe it's not quite that high, but it's, Sean Duffy did complain about his salary, didn't he?
174. It was 174,000.
Oh, 174,000. All right. Well,
yeah.
So you've decided to take on the lumberjack. Tell us why.
Well, you know, I'm the kind of person who looks at the person representing me in Congress. And I looked at the decisions that he makes and the way that he, you know, treats his constituents. And I honestly believe that I can do better. And with that, I feel that I've got the responsibility to challenge him, so that we can all do better.
So you were an Army brat who ended up in northern Wisconsin. What, your father was stationed somewhere and you ended up there? Is that how that happened?
No, well, my dad's Air Force, my stepdad's Navy, and my mom was Department of Defense. And I actually ended up stationed with the Air Force out in Utah about the time my dad retired. And I had a great high school teacher who was from Wisconsin, who suggested that I take a look at Northland College in Ashland, and that's how I ended up here.
And what did you study?
My degree's in conflict resolution. I came from a biology degree.
You come from a military family, and so you take conflict resolution. How did that work out?
You know, the irony is not lost on me. I actually came for a biology degree. And as Northland is a very kind of activism-focused school, and as we explored more issues related to environmental justice and that sort of thing, I kind of switched gears more into the sociology and political sphere. And conflict resolution was something that just kind of, you know, it hit me in the right way.
All right. So. Now, how did you go from that to ending up on the Ashland City Council?
Well, it's kind of the same thing. I looked at the person that was representing me, thought that I could make better decisions, that I would be more willing to listen to the concerns of folks in the community. But also, you know, I look around me and I see there's so much potential. There's so much potential to do good and to just improve our communities and to make, you know, life in general better for the people who live here. And I didn't really see a lot of that that optimism in our city council at the time, so I decided I'd throw my hat in the ring. And the opportunity presented itself a little sooner than I expected, but it worked out quite well.
Well, somebody did not give you modern-day civics. The point of running for political office is to enrich yourself, use your position in a transactional way, and then set yourself up for a nice golden parachute. Didn't you know that?
You know, I keep hearing that. I'm just doing it. I don't know. You know, I guess I reject that framework.
You do?
I reject it. I do. I guess I believe in, you know, civic duty and service and patriotism being community and country before self, oddly enough.
I spoke to a progressive group in 2012 in Phillips, and I talked to a lot of people when I got done speaking. And when I heard what people's wages were in the North, mm-hmm. and how they were being treated by their employers, and it's just like, you know, it just amazes me how many people are, they're kind of flying under the radar, that are living in rural poverty in Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this district is actually, the household income here is under $40,000 a year for household income in this district. And every single day I talk to people, you know, whether they're working retail or fast food or any kind of hospitality service, even, you know, folks on farms and that sort of thing, who are working full-time, who are good folks, who make positive contributions to their communities, and yet they have to have that conversation with their partners about which bills get paid on time, about how they're going to save for retirement, about how they're possibly going to pay for a kid's education. And it's wrong. I think that, you know, we've got to find ways to invest in the things that make sure that those opportunities are available for people and that folks have a chance to succeed, even if they don't come from a family of wealth.
Such as? Invest in what? Invest in what?
Well, I'd like to see investments, especially in things like education and in our infrastructure. Here in northern Wisconsin, just the number of jobs that we could create by investing in you know, our water infrastructure, in our power grid, in our telecommunications, the internet up here, you know, any of those things. We have so many pieces of infrastructure, the railroads, that folks could invest in, that, or that we could invest in as a country, that would expand that opportunity for economic development. But, you know, give us that framework to start from, and it would employ people to put those things in place.
And how did your Kelly Westland with us, by the way, she is a candidate for Congress in the 7th District and is unique because I would say that you, well, you don't appear to be a cookie cutter candidate. You've kind of stirred things up a little bit. Well, it's true. A lot of people sound very focus grouped. You do not sound focus grouped. That is not how you are speaking. Is there any particular vote of Sean Duffy's that bothered you, or is it all of his votes?
Well, there are quite a few. I think that most recently folks, of course, remember that he was kind of a champion for the government shutdown. And that speaks to a big part of the problem in Congress right now, the least productive Congress in the history of our country, because these guys are so hyperpartisan. They're so just, it's all obstruction. They aren't willing to actually look at a problem and try to work together to find a solution to move forward. Instead, they'd rather throw a hissy fit, shut down the government, really put a lot of people in bad situations for a few weeks, and cost our country $24 billion to economic activity. I mean, that's crazy. How is that helping any of us? You know, and he was somebody who was right out front on that for those votes. Otherwise, I know one of the issues that is, you know, very important to folks in the northern part of the state especially, but throughout Wisconsin, is the proposed Gogebic Taconite Mine. And I've been publicly opposed for, you know, since the beginning of this project and the changes at the state level. Duffy voted at the federal level, pointing to that project as the reason why.
You broke up for just a second there. What did he do? He voted for what?
He voted to further deregulate the mining industry at the federal level, pointing to the GTAC project as the reason why.
Well, shouldn't we be poisoning the groundwater of the Native Americans?
It's not just us. It's not just the Native Americans. You know, all the folks that live here, we breathe the air, we drink the water, and we all have a lot to lose. And, you know, the water especially, it's something that all of our other economic drivers here depend on, whether it's agriculture or the fisheries, the outdoor recreation, the tourism. All of those things are taken off the table if we do harm to the water.
All right, I'm going to play a clip for you of Congressman Duffy. Here he is.
How do you balance both?
Listen, yeah, I think it's important to, you know, make sure you have your priorities in place. And one is, you know, my kids and my family are a top priority for me. They're the ultimate priority. But if I care about their future and where we're, what kind of country we're going to leave off for them, I have to go and partake in the greater fight of who we are going to be as a people and the kind of America they're going to inherit. And I have a great seat at the table to make a huge difference in the country that they will get when they're, you know, my age.
So having said that, there was just a decision in the House to put up for a vote, raising the debt ceiling without anything attached.
Yeah.
Only 28 Republicans voted for it. Yeah. Speaker Boehner took Democratic votes. How do you feel about that?
Listen, I didn't vote for it. I think if we're going to raise the debt limit, we have to reform the way we spend. And one of the problems that we have, Brian, is Democrats won't vote for a debt limit increase unless it's clean. And we don't have enough Republicans by ourselves to reform the way we spend and raise the debt limit. We have 30, 40 members that will just flatly say no to raising the debt limit. And even with our conservative packages, our conservative budgets that balance the budget with Paul Ryan, they balance in 10 years. For 10 years, you have to raise the debt limit. So listen, this is not getting the job done.
I take it that he supports Paul Ryan's budget proposals then. How would that affect the 7th Congressional District?
Very, in a negative way. You know, again, this is a district with an average household income of under $40,000. There are a lot of folks who rely on programs like, programs like Social Security, for example. A lot of this is also the oldest district in the state. When we talk about cutting things like Social Security and Medicare, or cutting the CPI, or changing the age limits, those have real impacts on the people who live here. Personally, I'm a proponent of getting rid of the cap on the Social Security tax so that everyone pays their fair share, the same rate as anybody else.
Right now it's capped at about $110,000, is that right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So Diane Hendricks or Charles and David Koch, they would pay for it. They would pay a more withholding for their income above $110,000, right?
Right, right. Well, right now, the 900 richest people in this country, the billionaires, the 900 richest people in this country are done paying Social Security tax on day two of the calendar year. They don't put one nickel towards Social Security tax for the rest of the year that the rest of us keep paying, especially if you're somebody making 40 grand, you pay on that all year long. It seems to me that if we want a Social Security program that is solvent for the foreseeable future, then that's a good place to start.
On a live line with this congressional candidate, Kelly Westland. She's running in northwest Wisconsin in a district that was somewhat gerrymandered by the Republicans. Some think it's insurmountable that the empty suit representing it now can be defeated. Explain, Kelly, why you think maybe Pat Kreitlow didn't do as well as, without dissing Pat Kreitlow, as well as some might have expected 2 years ago.
Sure. Well, you know, when you talk about the gerrymandering, it's clear that it happened. But when they redrew the lines, they did two things. One was to draw out the previous challenger, Julie Lassa, and the other was to draw out Pat Kreitlow's base of support in the Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire area. So, you know, there are points in Chippewa Falls where literally neighbors are voting in different congressional districts. And I think that's a big part of what happened. Otherwise, you know, I've talked to both of them about things that you know, their lessons learned from the campaign trail and things that they might do differently. And we're not doing politics as usual here, as you may have noticed. But so far, the response has been great. You know, folks that had checked out before because they were so frustrated, they're getting engaged, and they're getting excited, and they're ready to get to work.
Which means you've got to get people to turn out that haven't in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
You know it. But, you know,
how do you how do you do that?
Well, one of them is, I mean, giving them a reason to care, but also showing them how these decisions really do affect them. And even after the gerrymandering, this district only leans Republican by 1.8%. It's rated R+2, despite the spread in the last election. And the fact is, the district, if you crunch the numbers, prefers a woman as a Democratic challenger over a man by about 10 points. And in the last polls that were done, Sean Duffy was losing to a Democratic challenger by 4 points in the district as it's drawn today. So, good things we know that Sean Duffy is vulnerable in the district as it is. Two, that while a lot of folks in this country might not be motivated to turn out in a midterm election, here in Wisconsin, we've got Scott Walker and Mary Burke at the top of the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that are motivated to turn out just for that.
Speaking of that, what do you make of what's happening at UW-Superior, where they are talking about outsourcing the custodial jobs and throwing people out of work that have been on the job 20 and 30 years?
It's incredibly frustrating. I mean, we've got to be able to find a more creative way to make sure that we are taking care of the people in our communities, the people that have dedicated lifetimes of service to our communities themselves. And I think it's one more example of how this Republican administration has really tightened the purse strings around the neck of local government and public entities. They're trying to privatize these things that are there for the public benefit, and this is one of those examples. You know, if they move forward with that, then they're ultimately doing harm to their community by taking away those living wage jobs from people who have experience and an investment in the Superior community.
From what I hear, this is a community that actually stands behind its workers, at least in Superior.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, I hope you give your voice to those workers, because I've had some of them on the air. It's just a terrible situation, and it's something people need to know about. You know?
Yeah, it really, you know, and they're not alone. It's happening in a lot of other places around the district. Folks that that, again, make a positive contribution to their communities, but because of, you know, the almighty dollar and the cuts coming down from the state and federal level, are losing those things that, you know, those promises that we made to them years and years ago. But we'll be in Superior next week, actually, on the 16th. Hopefully we'll get a chance to hear from some of those folks.
Let me ask you about Congressman Duffy's votes for free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. Would Kelly Westland have voted for those free trade agreements?
No, and you know, free trade agreements like that, they make me a little wary. To me, so far, they've been so secretive and happening behind closed doors, and really the ultimate, you know, end result is what? That we ship American jobs overseas, and we reduce protections for the environment, and we reduce, you know, the benefits that we go to American workers. If our goal is to create jobs in this country, then we need to shift that focus back to the things that we can do here to promote that economic growth.
There's a big fight among some Democrats over the Keystone Pipeline. What's your feeling about the Keystone Pipeline?
The Keystone Pipeline, I think, it's a wedge issue. And the fact is, it's not going to help our energy independence. It's an export pipeline. And if they say that it's going to create jobs, that's just not true. We know that it's going to result in maybe 35 permanent jobs. And what's the point of a pipeline? The point of a pipeline is automation so that you can employ fewer people and save the money. This is our government making an effort to prop up an industry that's based on a finite resource. Why don't we make those investments instead in addressing the challenges of the future by finding an alternative before we don't have a choice?
What did you think of Seattle raising their minimum wage to $15 an hour?
I think it's a fantastic model for the rest of us to look at. I know that there are folks that have concerns about jumping to a wage that high, especially in a place like northern Wisconsin, where profit margins are already pretty narrow for a lot of, you know, mom-and-pop-owned businesses. But if we could even get there with, you know, incremental steps, then what happens is, you know, when workers have more money, businesses have more customers. And Seattle is an excellent example that we can look to kind of, you know, learn how we can implement those things in other places.
Kelly Westland with us. She's a candidate for Congress. By the way, Kelly, what's your web address?
KellyWestland.com. That's KellyWestlund.
What do you make of the border issues right now and immigration reform?
Well, I think it's time that we have an adult conversation about it. You know, again, here's another place where we see a lot of obstruction and people not willing to address our country's challenges head on, but we really need to step back and consider our values as people. You know, a lot of the folks that are coming across, you know, moving is already hard. Moving is hard. Trying to strike out in a strange place to start a new life, to provide opportunity for your family, that's a hell of a challenge. And to get here and to be treated the way that these folks have been treated, I understand that we have to protect our country's own best interests, absolutely. But we also have to find a way to make sure that we can bring the million-plus people who are already here into the light so they don't have to live lives in the shadows. There are so many different situations that we couldn't possibly have a blanket piece of legislation, but we really need to start kind of try to tease those things out so that we can understand how best to help these folks fit into, you know, the great American dream.
What about guns? You know, you have a district where a lot of people have guns. Dave Obey had an interesting voting record at one time before the NRA became completely partisan. They gave him pretty good grades as a congressman. What's your view on guns?
Well, again, I think that there's not a blanket solution between, you know, every community, because the use of guns, for one thing, is very different from one place to the other. I'll tell you that my husband and I, there are guns in our home. This is a part of the state where a lot of folks hunt, we fish, we are hook and bullet people, and a lot of that has to do
hook and bullet people.
Yeah, well, we like to fish and we like to hunt, and it's part of our lifestyle. It's not just that, though, but it's a subsistence lifestyle. It's part of, you know, the meals we eat and our opportunities for recreation. It's a huge economic driver for us. And but do I think that we should have universal background checks? Absolutely. Do I think that we should be promoting responsible gun ownership? Absolutely.
So you support the Second Amendment, but you support reasonable limitations.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think that it's out of the question to have, again, a coherent and, you know, a calm conversation about what things are acceptable and what things aren't for us as a society.
Are you going to debate Sean Duffy? Are you going to debate him?
I would very much love the opportunity. We've reached out a couple times, and so far, we haven't nailed anything down. So feel free to extend the invitation on our behalf.
Well, he's awfully busy going on the national show. He likes to go on Morning Joe. He likes to go on Fox and Friends. Here he is. Let me play one more clip of the former reality star.
My perspective, and I come from a very 50-50 district in central and northern Wisconsin, you have people that have, in our side of the aisle, that have a really abrasive tone. We can come across as knuckle-dragging Neanderthals on occasion. We have to actually take our message to where people are at. We have moms that can't pay the utility bill, right. Dads who can't pay the mortgage. How does our conservative ideology and philosophy actually help lift them out the place that they're in today and move them up the economic ladder? We don't do a good job of presenting that message, and we have to change how we're doing it.
Is Sean Duffy, do people buy that shtick, or it's just, I'm just trying to be a nice guy?
No, it was, well, you know, he definitely tries to put forward the impression that he is, you know, and he's a fine fella, I'm sure. It would be great to have a beer with. However, that doesn't mean that I want him representing me in Congress. He has one of the most anti-woman voting records in Congress. He was a co-sponsor on Todd Akin's bill to redefine rape. The man is for personhood, he's for defunding Planned Parenthood, and for gutting these social these things that help keep people out of poverty. You know, he's living in a completely different world, not the real world.
That's called Hobby Lobby land.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, I think that one of the things that I hear most often from people in the district is that he just doesn't listen, that he can't relate. Even if they agree with him ideologically, they know that his decision making is not pragmatic. It's not suiting the vast majority of the people that he represents.
Does he live in the district?
Yeah, he's down in Weston now. He used to live here in Ashland, as a matter of fact. And when he campaigned, he said he wouldn't move, but he did. So I guess it was closer to the base. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, I like your answers. We'll have you on again before the election. I enjoyed speaking with you today, Kelly.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. I just have to say, though, folks, if anybody who's listening happens, well, no matter where you are, vote August 12th. Primaries are important. And those who show up are the ones who make the decisions.
Now, you don't have a primary, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do? You do have a primary.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. He jumped in late in May. He's a gentleman who ran before as, I believe, both. He's run once as a Libertarian, once as a Republican.
Oh.
And now he's running as a Democrat.
I see.
I do have a challenger.
All right. So tell your friends in the North to vote. All right. Kelly, thanks for coming on with us today. We'll chat again soon.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Have a great day.
Take care.
Kelly Westland. Kind of making waves around the country for running this unique, quirky sort of populist campaign, which is good. We need more of that.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.